Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. Just a quick thing. I was at a softball game this week, and I saw Diana Savage at the softball game, superintendent of Bryan City Schools, and she said, "Hey, I want you to tell your church thank you. Thank you for everything you guys do." And so passing that message on to you. And so she just wanted you guys to know, thank you. Thank you for all the stuff we do for the Bryan City Schools and school system. So I thought that was pretty cool for her to do that. And so we are making a difference, and people are noticing the work that we're doing. So keep on keeping on. So, hey, we're going to jump right in this morning to our final message in our IF series. Go ahead and open your Bibles if you have one, or if the pew one right in front of you, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We've been kind of landing right there. This series, and I'm going to be reading starting in verses 28 through 39, and I'm going to focus us in on a piece of the scripture we'll be looking at today. And so today's message, if you have your bulletins with you and you want to open them up and flip along and take some notes, today's message is titled, More Than a Conqueror. More Than a Conqueror. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And we talked a lot about that verse a couple weeks ago. And then he said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All things. We know that those two words, right? We talk about those two words a lot too. Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And look what Paul says. Paul says, no. 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 A powerful two-letter word, right? In Christ, you are more than conquerors. We all experience seasons where we're overwhelmed, and we came through a series just here recently talking about those situations, facing tough times, and I don't know what that looks like in your life. Maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your finances. I don't know. But I do know trouble, hardships, persecution, famine, nakedness, on some level, all of us have experienced one of those overwhelming circumstances, and I'm hoping nakedness is not any of yours this morning, but on some level, we've all experienced one of those, right? On some level, we've all experienced one of those overwhelming circumstances. But here's what I want you to know, and write this down in your notes if you're taking notes. With Christ, I am more than a conqueror. With Christ, I am more than a conqueror. You aren't just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. The Greek word for that, and I may butcher this, but it's hupernikeo. Hupernikeo. Sounds like a disease, right? But it's not. You are hupernikeo. You are hupernikeo. You know what that means? You are a hyper conqueror. Hyper conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. This is the good kind of hyper. Some of you are like, my kids are hyper, and that's really bad. No, this is really good. This is a good kind of hyper. And I want to give you guys a more of a definition. You can jot this down on your notes. It's hupernikeo means to vanquish beyond recognition. Gain a decisive victory, and look at this, exceedingly more than a conqueror. Exceedingly more than a conqueror. In Christ, we are more than a conqueror. When you're feeling overwhelmed and things are coming against you, and you just need to remind yourself, and anybody or anything coming against you, watch out. I'm hupernikeo. I'm hupernikeo. And they may think you're crazy, but at least you'll know what you're talking about and your meaning. You are more than a conqueror. Here's the deal. You can look throughout Scripture, and you can read story after story after story of a person or a group of people or even a whole nation where God proved himself strong and that they were more than conquerors. I'll just pick two of them. How about the Israelites when they left Egypt, right? We know the story. You know, they left Egypt, and these Israelites are being pursued by the Egyptian army, and they come up to what? They come up against the Red Sea, right? Oh no, what are we going to do? There's this army behind us. They're about to kill us. What are we going to do? And what does God do? Parts the Red Sea, right? And the Israelites go across on a dry ground, and the Egyptians pursue them into the waters, and what does God do? He folds the waters right over on top of the Egyptian army. Totally annihilates them, right? Totally destroys them. Why? Because in God, you are more than a conqueror. How about in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8? Anyone know the story of Gideon? Huh? Nobody? Wow, we need to do some Bible stories, huh? Come on, you guys know the story of Gideon. Gideon thought he was a nobody, remember? In fact, when God actually called him, he was like, no, you don't want me. You don't want me. I'm from the least family, and actually, I'm the least of the least in the least family. And God then tells Gideon, no, you are a mighty man. You are a mighty man. He's like, what? Huh? To me? No mighty man. And then God tells Gideon he's going to fight the Midianites and defeat them. So Gideon gathers together an army of 32,000 people. That's a lot of people, 32,000. And what does God do? God whittles it down to 300. How many of you know there's a big difference between 32,000 and 300, right? That's a pretty big difference. It's a big difference. 300 is a lot less than 32,000. Then God says to Gideon, when you go in, take your weapons. When you go in, take your weapons. Okay, God, what is it? Bazookas? Huh? Tanks? We gonna drop some bunker buster bombs on these guys? Remember what God tells them? No. I want you to grab some horns and some pitchers. I want you to grab some horns and pitchers, huh? Horns and pitchers? What in the world are you talking about? Yeah, I want you to go in and I want you to blow your trumpets and bang your pitchers together. How many of you think that's a pretty good battle plan? Not too much. It's kind of a terrible battle plan, but what happens? God was with them, and they defeated the Midianites. You are more than a conqueror. You are hupernikeo. Now, you may be thinking, I'm feeling pretty good, Pastor Brent. This is awesome. Let me give you the other side of the story. You're going to have troubles in this world, and we've talked a lot about that lately, huh? It's not a very popular thing to say, but look at Jesus' words in John chapter 16, verse 33, and this is out of the New English translation. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble and suffering, but take courage. I have conquered the world. The one who is with you and is in you has conquered the world. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Do you realize that in order to be a conqueror, you have to have something to conquer, right? I mean, in order to be a conqueror, we have to have something to conquer, right? So that in itself lets us know that we're going to fight some battles. We will have some overwhelming circumstances, but you can take heart because of what Jesus did on the cross. He conquered the world. Here's the thing. Some of you in here this morning need to find your voice. Need to find your voice. Too many people say this. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about being that vocal with these spiritual things. You're just so loud with the Bible and all. I just want to be one of those reserved Christians, you know. Sit on my porch, do my devotions, drink my coffee. Yeah, I'm gonna be reserved. Does that sound like a conqueror to you? I don't sound like no conqueror. No, you need to find your voice. You need to speak up. Look at what Revelations chapter 12, verse 11 says. They overcame, or in the ESV, English Standard Version says, conquered. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Their testimony. That means you got to find your voice. You got to open up your mouth. What does it mean to fight with those weapons, the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony? In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you are redeemed. In Christ, you are reconciled to God. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. You got to find your voice. Because not only do you got to fight by the blood of the Lamb, you also got to fight by the word of your testimony, which means you have to speak up. We are in a war, a battle, and you need to find your voice. It's not okay for Christians to sit on the sidelines. Find your voice. What is the word of your testimony? It's your story. It's your story. What's your story? What has God done in your life? What has God delivered you from? What has God healed you from? Your weapon is your word, and your weapon is God's word. Tell your story. Find your voice. I'm reminded of David and his story. You know, some little sheep boy, right? Out with his sheep. It's called, says he's going to rule a country, right? He's going to rule the nation. How did he find his voice? Remember when David went to take his brother some food on the front lines of the battlefield? Remember that? And he saw this giant named Goliath taunting the Israelites. And the Israelite army is saying, this guy is so big and he's so bad. And David walks up and says, you say he's too big to conquer? I say he's too big to miss. Give me a rock. Right? Remember that? David found his voice. He realized that with God, he was more than a conqueror, and that's your story too. You got to find your voice. So how do you fight? I want to give you two ways to fight. Because once you realize that you're more than a conqueror, Hooper Nikeo, here's how you fight. The first one is conquerors fight with a victorious attitude. Conquerors fight with a victorious attitude. David had a victorious attitude, am I right? You think he's too big to conquer? I say he's too big to miss. Talk about swag and attitude, right? Even his brothers were like, what do you think you're doing here? Oh, I'm just here to take down a giant. Sign me up. Let's go. Right? David had attitude and confidence, but it wasn't in himself, it was in God. You have to fight with a victorious attitude. The problem I see too often, good Christian people already have an attitude of defeat before anything has ever happened. Well, can't really do that. Can't really talk to that person about Jesus. What if they reject me? What if they say no? I just can't take that kind of rejection. Right? Let's do this. Let's do this event. Well, what if nobody comes? What if we do? What if we just do this and it fails? Or what if we already been defeated before we even start? Right? You can't be defeated in your mind before the battle happens in real life. Too many people lose the battle in their mind before they even begin to fight it in the real world. Don't let the enemy defeat you in your mind before you even step foot onto the battlefield. You have to realize who you are. You have to fight a conqueror's fight with a victorious attitude. I want to win at everything. I want to do everything to glorify God and win. You have to fight with a victorious attitude. Let me tell you what a victorious faith-filled attitude gives you. A victorious faith-filled attitude is followed by faith-filled actions. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against
the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Don't lose the battle in your mind before you step into the battle in the world. You got to take every thought captive. How many of you are in a battle right now? Anybody in a battle right now? A couple of you. How many of you that didn't raise your hand are lying, right? Yeah, there we go, more hands, right? You are in a battle. And if you didn't know you were in a battle, let me tell you, you are in a battle. But not only that, you are more than a conqueror. Your story of overcoming things in your past helps you now to live as overcomers in the present and the future. It's your story. You are Hooper Nikeo. I'm going to keep saying that word until it drives you nuts. So just tell me when it drives you nuts, and I'm going to say it 10 more times. Hooper Nikeo. Say it. Hooper Nikeo. Yeah. What your problems are, God is bigger. He's bigger than your problems, and in him you are more than a conqueror. You are Hooper Nikeo. I like what the psalmist says in 18:29. Because more than likely when we are facing problems in our life, it's like we are coming up against a wall, right? A wall in our finances, a wall in your marriage, a wall with your children. And no matter what the wall is, how high it is, you can either go under it, go over it, or go through it, right? Look at this verse. It says, in your strength, I can crush an army. In your strength, I can crush an army. With God, I can scale any wall. Any wall. Doesn't matter how big the issue is, you are more than what? More than a conqueror. Some of you were still awake. That's good. Fight with a victorious attitude. Number two is conquerors fight with supernatural weapons. Conquerors fight with supernatural weapons. Supernatural weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 4 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Divine power to demolish stronghold. The word power here in the Greek is dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Has anybody ever messed with dynamite? Anybody? Oh, yeah, we got the army guy right here. Yeah. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Yeah, pretty powerful. I've never had the opportunity. I've just done little fireworks here on the stage. Not all, but it's sweet if I had a big old thing of dynamite, right? We'd have made some cookies then, right? Dynamite has crazy power, like earth-moving power. And then this is the power of the weapons with which we fight with. Supernatural power, earth-shaking power. We have it in us. And what do? Demolish strongholds. Demolish strongholds. We're in a battle, but we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. There's a big difference. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. We've already won. We are more than conquerors. 2 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4, 7 through 9 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We win. We win. Why? Because we're Hooper Nikeo, right? Told you I was going to say it until you drove me crazy. In Christ, you are not just a conqueror. A conqueror would be okay. That'd be pretty cool. But Paul took it a step further. You are not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this. You are from God. You are from God, little children. You are from God. And have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You are Hooper Nikeo. You are more than a conqueror. Let me tell you what that looks like. Conquerors fight earthly battles. More than conquerors fight eternal battles. Conquerors obtain by force. More than conquerors obtain by faith. Conquerors fight for victory. More than conquerors fight from victory. Conquerors win on one level. More than conquerors win on all levels. Conquerors are victorious over struggles. Catch this. More than conquerors are victorious in the midst of struggles. You are not just a conqueror in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You are Hooper Nikeo. Father God, we just thank you so much. We thank you for Paul's words. And we thank you that you just didn't say that we are a conqueror. But you allowed Paul to take it a step further and said, you are Hooper Nikeo. You, in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Father, my prayers this morning as people have heard this message, they ask one question. Is Christ in me? Do I have Christ in me? And Father, if somebody is wrestling with that, I pray that they would find somebody, they would seek somebody out this morning. And they would just begin to ask the questions, hey, what does it mean to have Christ in me? I want to be Hooper Nikeo. I want to be more than a conqueror. I want Christ in me so I can be more than a conqueror. Father, as we hear these messages and how we don't have to be afraid of anything because we can conquer anything with you in our lives, Father, I pray that we will just take that message and just throw it aside, but we will truly stand up. And we'll take this message of love and grace and mercy out to people who need it. That we will not only be pursuing you here in our church, but Father, we will be pursuing people in the community. Father, help us to do that. Help us to take the courage to do that, Father. Help us to all take next our next steps towards you. Father, we love you.